You're listening to radio news about radio waves. Headlines from the ether. You're tuned to This Week in Radio News. I'm Tom Rowe in the Wave Farm Study Center in upstate New York.
Hello, hello, hey, hello, 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 hey, hello, hello.
On this edition of This Week in Radio News, we just heard Erykah Badu with Hi from her new album, But You Can't Use My Phone mixtape. Entire record kind of remixing Drake's Hotline Bling and riffing on the modern day phone obsession and wide ranging effects from ear canal overheating to the decimation of the bee population. The record is certainly the most telephone centric in a year of telephone centric hits. Later in the show, we'll hear another song, Can't Use My Phone, Sweet. And we'll also hear from Howard Stern about his return to satellite. And FCC Chairman Tom Wheeler gives a press conference at the December 17th Federal Communications Commission open meeting, all on This Week in Radio News. But let's get started with the headline. John Anderson at DIYmedia.net has long tracked pirate radio activities in the United States and writes that enforcement efforts from the Federal Communications Commission are at their lowest levels since 2004. But those enforcement actions may be at their highest levels of political gamesmanship ever. Most of the FCC's enforcement actions in 2015, 76%, were in New York or New Jersey, most around New York City. Earlier this year, plans to cut back the enforcement bureau at the FCC were met by a letter signed by New York and New Jersey congresspeople with ties to the National Association of Broadcasters, demanding the commission do something about the pirate radio menace. So the FCC reacted. 111 enforcement actions in just 10 states in 2015. Republican FCC Commissioner Ajit Pai, who parrots the NAB stance on pirates, quoted from a leaked 2014 email from an FCC field director saying, quote, "We are scaling back on our response to pirate operations. Barring interference to a safety service, pirates should not be given a high priority. If there's interference to a safety service, it's not a pirate case, but instead a safety case," unquote. Anderson, though, puts this all in perspective. Quote, "Everybody involved in this little corner of the media policy world is a paper tiger. The enforcement organization and agents themselves, the industry lobbyists who are trying to blow the notion of pirate radio out of all proportion to reality, and the commissioners who've picked up the industry's crusade for the purposes of making some political hay. None have suggested a meaningful or constructive path from the status quo, which is all the better for the pirates, who will continue to flourish in spectrum crevices long considered unserviceable by their licensed brethren," unquote. Full disclosure, John Anderson is on Wavefarm's board. Federal Aviation Administration announced new rules December 14th requiring owners of remote-controlled recreational aircraft to register the machines in the national database. With radio-controlled drones predicted to be one of the most popular holiday gifts this year, and an increasing number of the aircraft interfering with the work of aviation, fire, and police officials, the registration process is meant for authorities to be able to track down owners of any flying machines that break the rules. Drone owners will have to fill out an online form with their names, home addresses, and email addresses to the FAA, and then affix a registration number to their drone. Quote, "Unmanned aircraft enthusiasts are aviators, and with that title comes a great deal of responsibility," unquote, Anthony Fox, the Secretary of Transportation, said in a conference call with reporters orders December 14th. Quote, registration gives us an opportunity to work with these users to operate their unmanned aircraft safely, unquote. Only American citizens can register a drone at FAA.gov beginning December 21st. Registration will be free for the first 30 days, then cost $5. The rules are for new drones, which must be registered before flight, and previously purchased aircraft with registration required by February 19th, 2016. Satellite radio disc jockey Howard Stern will not return to Earth as he signed a new 5-year deal December 15th for an estimated $90 million per year, according to several reports, to stay on satellite radio. Before leaving syndicated terrestrial airwaves in 2004, Stern had an estimated 30 million listeners. Today, SiriusXM, his satellite home, has 29 million potential listeners altogether. Listen to an excerpt of the Howard Stern show from December 16th, where he announced he will continue on SiriusXM. Paul Rimsmondale in Radio Survivor reports that Art Bell's latest radio return seems short-lived and ended in conspiracy. Bell wrote a December 11th blog post saying he is, quote, going to hang it up, unquote, saying a, quote, crazy person, unquote, has threatened Bell and his family. During a live broadcast of his Midnight in the Desert radio show on October 21st, shots were fired near his home studio in Pahrump, Nevada. Quote, as you all know, I dearly love what I do, unquote, he writes, but, quote, not at the expense of never-ending terrorism, unquote. Bell used to host Coast to Coast AM on FM radio, and Dark Matter on Sirius XM radio, and returned with another conspiracy theory-based show, this time online, with Midnight in the Desert, beginning in July of 2015. Soon, 55 broadcast affiliates, including two shortwave stations, were transmitting the call-in show. Now, though, the show's online syndicator is offering refunds to subscribers. France won't be shutting down public Wi-Fi networks or banning Tor, not even during a state of emergency, French Prime Minister Manuel Valls said last week. He had to make the statement because the French newspaper Le Monde reported the week before that the government was considering such measures. Quote, internet is a freedom, is an extraordinary means of communication between people. It is a benefit to the economy, unquote, Valls said. Quote, it is also a means for terrorists to communicate and spread their totalitarian ideology. The police must take in all of these aspects to improve their fight against terrorism, but the measures we take must be effective, unquote. In the United States, Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump has suggested he may want to shut down the internet to battle terrorism, and most other candidates have wished for more surveillance on citizens in the wake of terrorist attacks in Paris, Colorado Springs, and San Bernardino. This is Tom Rowe for Wave Farm Radio and WGXC.
But you can't use my phone.
That was Erykah Badu with Can't Use My Phone Sweet from her new record, But You Can't Use My Phone, all tracks about telephones and cell phones and phone signals and what phone signals are doing to humans and the planet. Next, we're going to tune in to Federal Communications Chairman Tom Wheeler, who gave a brief press conference at the end of the FCC's December 17th open meeting. Here's FCC Chairman Tom Wheeler taking questions from reporters.
This was the last meeting of the year, as you know. We adopted two more items that will streamline our processes, update outdated rules, and generally, you know, improve the way we do business. But rather than talk about these items individually, I'd like to make a general point, and that was that they fit into the kind of thing that we've been talking about since day one of my chairmanship, when we set out a clear set of goals that We would use all the tools at our disposal to spur innovation, investment, and facilitate faster and better networks, that we would safeguard the and nurture the enduring values that we called the Network Compact, and that we would modernize and improve the agency's operation. And this just what we did today fits in with that. I'm proud of this agency. I'm proud of what we accomplished. And I think one of the things that's really interesting is how often you hear up here on the dais, whatever it is, the comments from the commissioners about compliments to the staff and their pride in the work of the staff. And we've got to make sure that we never lose sight of that. So on that note, I'd be happy to discuss anything that you want to discuss. Let's start with Paul.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Paul Kirby with TR Daily. There seems to be a growing trend for zero rating by wireless carriers, and you mentioned after the last meeting about the T-Mobile service that you would keep an eye on it. Are you seeing anything that makes you think in the industry that the FCC needs to intervene or clarify its position?
Well, I mean, as you appropriately point out, Paul, at the last meeting, I was asked about T-Mobile's binge on, and I said that I thought that it was innovative, it was competitive, and we would be monitoring it and keeping an eye on it. I mean, I think that's the way in which we've tried to lay out that we're going to operate under the open internet rules. And so, as a part of that, yesterday we sent letters to T-Mobile and Comcast and AT&T, asking them to come in and have a discussion with us about some of the innovative things that they are doing. Now, let me be real clear. These were, let's get informed. This is not an investigation. This is not any enforcement. This is help us stay informed as to what the practices are, as we said we would do in the open internet order. Yes, sir.
Can I follow up on these letters? So can you give us a little more detail about what innovative practice you're talking about? Is it beyond just the zero issue in terms of some?
We want to talk about multiple things, and we want to hear what they want to talk about. Okay, but I mean, so Comcast has their stream proposal, T-Mobile has their binge on, AT&T has their subsidized data plan, and sponsored data. Sorry, wrong term. Has a sponsored data plan, and again, I want to, you know, we made a big deal at the open internet that we wanted to welcome innovation, that we wanted to see that new and innovative ideas increased competition, but that we also wanted to keep aware of what was going on, and that's what we're doing. John?
Thanks for all that. I guess I'd like to follow up on this too. So it seems like there are three buckets of things that these companies are offering that we've just been talking about. Mm-hmm. So there's zero rating, there's sponsored data, and then Comcast has a product that it thinks it describes as, you know, IP cable, which it says is not actually covered by the rules. Do you see those as three distinct buckets, and can you talk about how you would view them just from a legal or regulatory standpoint?
We're not bucket counting, and again, I go back that what we said in the open internet is that we would observe and keep ourselves educated, and that's what we're doing.
Amir Nasser, Morning Consult. I was just wondering, regarding lifeline modernization, if you could give an update as to when you think we can expect a rulemaking and just what recommendations the Commission has noticed as most popular.
Sure. I hope we're doing this early in the new year, Commissioner Clyburn and I are working closely together on that, and I'm not ready to talk about the specifics of it at this point.
Yeah. In the discussion on the U.S. telecom forbearance petition, Commissioner Clyburn mentioned there was $200 million, including $100 million from a reserve fund. She had some concern about, seemed to be going towards voice, and she's wanting to know when you're going to do more to promote broadband in certain areas. And then Matt Del Nero said, well, the funding in late-breaking development, I believe he said, was taken out. And then there was some discussion about the CAF II auction order. He said that might be a good vehicle for dealing with remote area fund. And you said CAF II was the predicate for remote area fund. And then Commissioner Pai talked something about an unfunded mandate of $1 billion. Now, there was a lot there. Can you sort this out for us and tell us what is in or not in the order regarding the funding
nothing
and then what
in
your
order.
Intentions are
There's
regarding...
nothing in the order about money.
So was it taken out?
It was
$200 million?
It was taken out.
And what was it going to do?
There was going to be some money for paying for some of these things for voice. And it was taken out because there was insufficient support on the commission. We have a collegial back and forth process. But I think everybody, fitting all your other components together. I think everybody believes that we want to make sure that we are addressing how we expand broadband. And so CAF, RAF, and all the other AFs that are associated with that. I mean, what I was trying to say, we'll be proceeding with dispatch because this is an important thing. We got to make sure that people have the ability to connect.
But were you, just to nail it down, you said it was CAF was a predicate for RAF. Are you suggesting you would do the CAF reverse auction first?
I wasn't saying we'd do the CAF. What I was saying, there's a CAF item on the floor.
Right.
What I was really saying is, hey, guys, let's vote on the CAF item.
And is the RAF part of that?
No.
Okay. And that would be the next step.
Exactly.
Okay. All right.
Alex.
Hey, Alex Byers with Politico. You told lawmakers last month, you at least made it clear that you were not about to move anything with regard to your MVPD definition proceeding. That obviously came after several parts of the internet and content industry expressed concern about the proposal. Understanding sort of what your underlying goal was to spur innovation in that industry and setting aside perhaps the particulars of what you may or may not have been proposing, to what extent are you kind of thinking about going back to the drawing board on that to do something that people will be more happy with, or is it just like we're setting that aside, focusing on other stuff?
Yeah, no, thanks, Alex. I think the word I used was we hit pause.
Right.
I thought that was kind of appropriate.
Sure.
You hit the pause button.
But that implies we're going to come back to this.
So we hit pause.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because the NPRM is a process that is designed to produce information that you didn't have on the other side of the NPRM. And so that gave us cause to hit pause, we have several things that will be coming out in the course of the year that will be dealing with video issues, not the least of which is the Congress is asking us to look at the reasonableness of agreements on local rights and this sort of thing, which will be I think an opportunity to address writ large some other issues that have been hanging around as well, whether the MVPD issue gets rolled up in that, I don't know. There are so many innovative things going on right now in the video space, and we want to let them continue to innovate. Dave.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm wondering what you think of the funding provisions directed at the FCC that are in the omnibus package that's going to go to the floor tomorrow.
And it's, I was particularly wise.
Is there anything you saw in there that concerns you, things that are absent that you would have liked to have seen?
Well, sure, we'd asked for more money.
for a particular purpose?
And had identified what we'd be using it for. I think that the fact that that the Congress is at least keeping us at current funding levels is a vast improvement over where we were when we came out of the Appropriations Committees.
Lydia?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To return to those letters you sent, did you set a time frame for holding those talks in them, or was it open-ended?
No, there is not a be here Tuesday, if that's the question you're asking. No, but and we're going into the holidays, and so that's going to obviously have an impact. But we ask that we come in. And again, I want to go back to, we want to know what they're thinking and they're hearing as well. This is, okay, let's come in. It's now been 6 months since the open internet order went into effect. And there have been lots of innovations. And there are lots of innovations that undoubtedly are still under the hood or under the covers or not brought out yet that people are thinking about. And so our thing was, let's just make sure that we are informed as to what is going on in all of these areas and anything that that they want to talk about.
Thanks. Alicia Green, CQ Roll Call. You extended for 1 year the exemption on disclosure requirements for small broadband providers, but some have argued that should be permanent. Is that something you're willing to consider based on what comes out of the PRA assessment?
Well, you just said the key is let's base it on facts rather than supposition. So let's see what we get in terms of the data.
Monty.
Chairman Wheeler, Monty Taylor, Com Daily. Commissioner Rosenworcel said that the federal-state joint board is holding off on making recommendations regarding USF contribution reform due to the open internet litigation. Is there anything else the FCC is holding off on pending some sort of initial ruling from the court?
I didn't realize that she had said that.
That's what Dave told me.
Well, hey. She is the chairman of the joint board, that's a process that she's leading.
But is there anything that the FCC otherwise is holding off on because of that litigation?
Let me understand. So you're saying, we're sitting here saying we're not doing things
right
because
you're waiting
the court
for the court to
decision.
Opine on something. Yeah.
No, we think that we're on strong grounds in the court, and I thought that that John Sallet and Jake Lewis did exemplary jobs. I was not in the courtroom. I listened to the entire proceeding. On the audio, was impressed with the job that they did, and am confident that that the open internet rules have a good future ahead of them.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. Have great holidays.
Preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.